Well, welcome to the Viking Press Pass. I am Matthew Nichol, and joining me remotely is head coach Stephen Bell to kick off season two. So, Coach Bell, thanks for connecting with me today.
I'm looking forward to it, Matt. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. No, it's exciting. Football's right around the corner. So just here in, 2 weeks, everybody starts to report. So like you said, kind of fire's coming. So ready to go.
It's coming. It's coming. We better be ready for it.
That's right. Let's talk a little bit about spring ball. So I think it's really cool and unique. Not a lot of Division III teams get to experience this, but you know, you and the team traveled over to Rome and had a friendly game against Lazio. A couple years ago, you guys took a trip to Germany. Tell us just a little bit about what that experience was like for, you know, those that haven't had a chance to do something like that.
Well, I think more than anything, it gives exposure to maybe a place that, you know, in their lifetime, they may never get to go. And you get to do it with all your guys, and I think that's pretty unique and it's pretty cool for them. The football portion of that trip is minimal, and so you know we play one game, and the rest of the time you're just kind of kicking around Greece and Italy, and you know your parents are there maybe if they travel with you, or you're with your guys the whole time, and the coaching staff, you know, see our guys in maybe a different light. Than they would, you know, in the school system. So, yeah, it's an awesome experience for our kids, and so glad that they get the opportunity to do it.
Now, thinking, I was looking at that game, right? There's a lot of, faces and players that, you know, didn't necessarily get a ton of time, potentially even last year, some of the underclassmen getting a chance to step in and get some good minutes during the game. But, you know, I think of just a lot about the relationship and, you know, that, you know, folks continue to build, you know, on a trip like that. I mean, how meaningful is it, you know, when you think about spring ball, the transition of kind of some of your senior leaders, folks getting a chance to step up? Talk just a little bit about kind of that phase of the culture of the team.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few things I think that are beneficial to that trip. One is, you know, kind of a little bit off of what you said, we get 10 extra practices. So that in itself allows us more repetitions for kids that maybe, you know, aren't going to be on the field as much or haven't been on the field as much at that point. But it also, at that same time, going into that game over there, we're going to play everybody. So it doesn't matter, you know, if it's our starters, our backups, third string guys, whatever it may be, we're going to make sure that those guys are getting time and pretty equal time, to be honest with you. So, we kind of go in with that mindset that we want to see some kids that that maybe we haven't seen a whole lot of on the varsity level at that moment. And, and it helps for, you know, the 10 practices plus that experience is tremendous.
Now, are those 10 practices in addition to the spring rules?
Yes. So, and they're padded. So we're limited in our normal NCAA Division III. We're limited to, 4 padded practices out of 16. So 1/4 of our practices at that point in a normal scenario are padded. And when I say padded, helmet and shoulder pads.
Right.
But when you go on a trip, you get 10 padded. So do we utilize all 10 as padded? No. But at the end of the day, we get more ability to do everything in those padded practices, you know, where you do run game. You could do basically a normal practice. When you're not padded, it's underwear football, and we're in helmets only, but our linemen, D linemen, O linemen, it's really difficult when you're not padded.
Yeah, that, you know, the spring format's been a huge topic. I was helping a buddy of mine, Carlo, that runs Dingo Talk, and he kicked off some roundtable discussions with some coaches he has, you know, some connections with. And, you know, there's a lot of, I think, opinions around, you know, changes in spring ball. you know, what could be, should be, and just, you know, kind of elevating more the trust of the head coach, right, to manage some of that, because, you know, you're not going out and trying to create injuries or create headaches down the road, you know, for kids as you go into next year. So that's really advantageous, you know, to just development and getting more looks and reps. And I really thought the Vikings looked good in all phases of the game, offensively, defensively. How does their level, how did that Lazio team, when you look at like skill set, match up against playing like in the CCIW or at the Division III level? Because there was a lot of names on there that were like Division I connections. Yeah. So what was that level of competition like?
Do you want me to be honest?
I always.
It as a whole, it was really, you know, maybe lower level Division III. You know what I mean? Lower level. But at the end of the day, they did have some individuals that were pretty good. They had a kid that, you know, played at Eastern Washington. You know, they had a couple other kids that were, they're paid professionals, right? Mm-hmm. They played college ball in the United States, and then they're over there and getting a professional experience, getting paid, getting housing, getting, you know, all that kind of stuff. But they just don't have enough of those kind of players to be. The Germans that we played years ago, they were pretty good. That was a much tighter game than I felt comfortable with. So, but this team was, you know, it was, we knew that we weren't going to have much trouble with them just based off of just the eyeball test. And yep. We knew our depth was, you know, much greater than that theirs would have been. So, but they did have a couple individuals. They had a nice receiver. He was a pretty nice player.
Nice. Yeah, it's always hard to kind of judge from that. You know, where does the level of competition rise up? And, you know, and just there were so many fresh faces on the field. I was trying to, you know, provide an update kind of through Facebook on sure. What was going on, who scored what, who's doing what. And, you know, I was challenged a little bit with who was who. And the commentator, you know, had some misses there yep. as well, and which is expected. It's but it's just such a cool experience. So appreciate you sharing that.
And our better players played well. And that's the good thing. You know, it took a little time. You could tell there was a little bit of rust in terms of playing a game-like scenario.
Yeah.
But overall, the kids that we expected to play well did play well. And then we limited some of our top kids. We limited how many repetitions they were getting in that game just because you don't want to get someone hurt in a game
Absolutely.
Like that. So, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's kick forward a couple weeks, preseason, fall camp, you know, players officially move in, report Tuesday the 12th. And as I think about, you know, first-year players, freshmen, transfers, what can they expect in terms of what that fall camp structure is like? And kind of what can they expect from, you know, from you and the staff?
Well, I think, you know, training camp's a wonderful experience. It's difficult for freshmen because you're transitioning, you know, into a place that you have no clue. You don't know very many people, if any at all. And that's a difficult. But it's football 24 hours, you know, basically 24 hours a day until school starts, and there's nothing better than training camp, in my opinion.
Yep.
Because you get so much, the volume of time that you get with them is not normal during season. And so we get to see their faces, you know, basically not 24 hours, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Just meeting time, connection with each other. They're all going through the same thing at the same moment. And so that's always fun. But really, it's just what we're looking for is, fortunately, we're not in a situation where we have to 100%, you know, count on a freshman to start for us.
Mm-hmm.
If that freshman plays for us, he's really, really good. And, you know, we of course, I don't care if it's a senior or a freshman. It doesn't matter to me. But that kid has to be really, really talented to be on the field for us as an early freshman. That, you know, I think that time together, connecting, is critical during training camp.
It is.
Because you're introducing a whole new crop of kids into your team that don't know anything about how you do things. So it's a great time.
Well, and it's such a I came across my freshman picture with me and my roommate, you know, and I was like, God, I look like a baby. I was a tiny little thing. But it was reminiscing a little bit on, you know, when that was the time when they went from 3-a-days to 2-a-days, and, you know, morning workouts, the morning practice, lunch, afternoon workouts, evening practices, and then meetings up until 9 or 10 o'clock in Olin at the time, and all the different breakouts we had throughout the week. And, you know, I just remember it being such a shock, because it's like it's truly, you're taking an academic approach on top of the physical side to learn an offense. And man, I remember just being such a deer in headlights to the whole process. Oh, yeah. And it really takes someone, quite a bit of time just to kind of understand on how they want to learn the offense and what's kind of expected of you and how you fit into to the breakouts. And for me, I was like, well, do I go offense? Do I go defense? And I was trying to split my time between, you know, corner and at our time was, you know, tight end, which really wasn't a receiver. So, you know, even trying to figure out where I fit in to the team was tough. And
yeah, it's a difficult transition. It really is. I mean, especially as a freshman, your way, you know, where you fit into the equation as a part of the team structure, but you're also trying to figure out how in the heck do I learn this verbiage that I've never heard before, and it might be quite unique to what you did in high school. You do find out really, really fast who has a very high football IQ,
mm-hmm.
On how they pick things up and how fast they pick things up. I kind of just off topic here, but Braden Smith, you know, obviously our best receiver that we have at Augustana, I told him if he can bottle how he learned our offense so fast, he can be a millionaire, because he'll sell that. He picked it up the fastest I've ever seen anybody pick it up, and in my whole career. And so I said, if you can bottle that up and sell it to every freshman in the country on how fast you pick that up, you'll be a multimillionaire. So, but it's a lot of hard work. It is. You take a lot of time, and you find out who really, you know this, you find out who really, really, truly loves football and who's just playing football during training camp. Yeah. Yeah. If you are a true football player and absolutely love it, you love training camp because it's such a high volume of football all in one shot.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, we get this year, you know, there's two scrimmages, one against Ambrose, and then the one against Loris. And, you know, as you're going through those, is it really at a point where you're looking more for just live reps, simulated game type situations, or are players still utilizing that opportunity to kind of solidify their spot on the depth chart? I mean, how do you kind of perceive those two practices? Because they're, you know, those scrimmages, right? They're controlled, they're live, but they're controlled. How do you kind of perceive how folks are using that time?
I'm going to say yes to both of those. So yes, we're trying to simulate game-like, you know, scenarios. How do kids react in those scenarios? What's kind of our thought process? Because our offensive coordinator has to game plan-ish those scenarios during a scrimmage. But we're also trying to see, I think more than anything, is who's your starters? And you may have battles at each position. You know, it depends on the position. Some of those are already solid. You know, we know that. But you're also trying to figure out who your backups are and who you can trust. to be inserted into a game possibly when they have to. And so those scrimmages are critical because they give us a viewpoint of what our team looks like. And then, you know, who are the guys that are up and comers? You may have some kids that had a tremendous summer, had a tremendous spring, had a tremendous summer, and, you know, they're coming into the equation. And maybe they make a huge impact and a huge leap from where they were the previous fall. One name I'll just drop, name drop, is Cooper Marsh, a local kid from Moline.
Yeah.
Tremendous spring. Tremendous. Probably, in my opinion, defensively, the best spring that we had of anybody. And, you know, is really working his tail off this, you know, so I really expect him to have some, you know, some really good opportunities this fall. So that, and he worked himself into that situation.
Is he still sticking? Will he be moving more into like the free safety role then? Is that kind of where he's been working?
Yeah, he'll compete at our safety spot, you know, that Johnny Breeden opened up by graduation. And then also our nickel linebacker, you know, which would be our third safety on the field. So,
okay.
You know, where we could go five defensive backs on the field at that point. So he's just a really, really, he just popped into my head as you were talking. A kid like that really can change the complexion of where he was last year compared to this year. And just by the hard work that they put in during, you know, the spring into the summer and then through scrimmages.
Let's stay a little bit on that topic, because as I was looking through, you know, the last two deep, right? I'm using Carthage's last home.
Sure.
You know, defensively, you know, it's going to be reloading, right, going into this year, because there's, you know, a handful of D-line that graduated, a couple linebackers graduated, and obviously Dakota and Johnny Breeden and Alvarado. But you still have your three cover, you know, corners, you know, Darren, Caden, and Braden. Obviously Toby Split got a lot of work, and he's, you know, one of the captains. Yep. Dylan Burton coming back, you know, that's a huge addition, obviously. Nick Hogan and some of those as well. How are you thinking about, you know, some of those kind of key roles and a lot of that senior leadership that, you know, did graduate? Cooper Marsh is a good one you talked about. I've seen Toby has gotten a lot of work. Ryan Gustafson as well. How are you thinking just defensively, you know, maybe some other folks that you anticipate to kind of step up this year?
Sure. And, you know, kind of looking at it holistically on the defense side of the ball, you know, we bring Nick Hogan was a very minimal repetition guy. He had some trouble with his knees, so he didn't play a whole lot last year. That's changed. He's a captain for us this year. That I look forward to that because we just saw little glimpses of Nick in games, but he was a percentage of himself because of what he was dealing with his knees. TJ Klein, we're going to graduate, you know, Woodry, and we're going to graduate Keeney, who were, you know, did a great job for us, but TJ Klein now gets to be the man in the middle. And it also gives an opportunity for Zach Gray, who we're really excited about, you know, to kind of step into a bigger role. Zach played quite a bit for us towards the back end of the year, but his role will increase tremendously. You know, so there's a nice little nucleus up front that we feel, you know, Rondé Worrells, I don't know if you remember Rondé, but Rondé will be playing for us this fall, and we're moving him down to stand-up defensive end. So a little more athleticism on the edge. And then a combination of him and Teak and the kids that played for us last year. But we also brought in a transfer. So we lost a nice, you know, Luke Willis was an unsung hero last year. Senior starter, first year, you know, only time he started was as a senior, but did a really solid job for us. And so he's graduating, but we're bringing in a transfer, Carl Thomas, that we're really excited about. You know, 6'2", 235, can run, physical as all get out. So a kid that's coming to us from Quincy University. And then, you know, and then on the back end, Toby got a ton of time last year, you know, and it was a huge player for us last year. And now his role is even increasing more. And then our, you know, like you said, our corners were, you know, we're pretty solid at those positions and we feel good about them. So, yeah, so it's, you know, you get some subtraction, but we feel like, hey, we've got kids that can shift into those roles to kind of fill those voids, and guys that have played. So, you know, they have played, they've been on the field and played quite a bit, to be honest with you. So it's, you know, feel very good about where we're at defensively.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, as I was thinking about that question, it's like it's not a rebuild, it's just a reload, because there's so much talent on the back end. You know, and then conversely, right, on the offensive side, like, there's a ton of talent return. I mean, you lose Jacob North and Kane, you know, over on the right side there, and, you know, DeJoya, Cole and Liam graduated. You know, but you think about Ben Ludlum, Josh Lim, you know, Jimmy Zitkus and, gosh, Ben Hartman and Zach Michaels and Charles Tolan and Zach, like, all these guys are coming back. So, you know, that's huge from an offensive front. Receivers, super solid there. You know, and who can we maybe expect, you know, kind of quarterback in the offense a little bit? There's, you know, I saw Jimmy McCoo, that Illinois State guy, you know, he's transferring in, a sophomore. For the life of me, can't remember the couple of quarterbacks that played in that Lazio game. But how are you kind of thinking about, you know, that position, you know, for the offense this year?
Well, that's always the big one, isn't it? Who's going to play quarterback for you? It always, no matter how you spin it, it's always going to come back to that, right? And in my career, I can tell you, if you don't have that guy, it is really, really hard to be any good. And if you do have that guy, it doesn't guarantee that you're going to be good. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have him, you won't be good. So, yeah, it matters, doesn't it? But
it does.
So Jimmy McCoo coming in as a transfer, had a tremendous spring, learned the offense again really, really quick. And it must be those Hersey kids, because Braden Smith, Hersey High School, and Jimmy came in as a transfer and learned our offense pretty smooth, pretty quickly. He'll be competing with Nick Brown. Nick Brown, you know, was a sophomore for us last year, got a minute or two in the varsity level at the end of a game or two. But we're really good at that position right now. Little bit different styles. Nick is more of your true pocket passer. You know, we'll dice you up if we keep him clean. We'll dice you up because he's smart as all get out and throws the ball, spins the ball really well, and just very intelligent football player. Not really mobile, right? He's not tremendously mobile. But Jimmy is very athletic, but throws the ball exceptionally well. So they're two, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Different styles.
They're competing well to, you know, with each other, but they're also competing well against each other, because one of those guys is going to be our guy. So, it's exciting, because we know that whoever plays for us at that position is really good, and it'll make our team a lot better, because they will be able to get the ball out very quickly. And then one of them, like I said, is a little more athletic and can move around. Isn't quite, you know, a statue back there, but you know, it'll be interesting. It's been competitive. It's been fun, and they both played well in the game in Italy.
Yeah. Well, I didn't realize that Jimmy had transferred, you know, during the year, so it was good to get some spring ball, you know, experience. And, you know, we think a little bit about the schedule. You know, there's going to be a couple questions around the schedule, just more curious about. But, you know, we open up against at Simpson, then you get a bye, and then we go right into conference play with, you know, Wheaton. And you know, they were hit the preseason 17th ranked, but you get a couple of weeks to prep for them, which is always good. But you know, I think about you know, last year we opened up with them as well. How important is it for that first conference game to really set the table for conference play when you're playing, you know, one of the best teams in the CCIW. I mean, that's a lot to put on the plate early on in the season, but how important is it to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think initially the first game against Simpson is going to be critical because it's first of all, they're going to be better. That'll be three years into their head coach and their staff, which is obviously you'd expect, you know, quite a bit of improvement through recruiting and just, you know, the knowledge base of Simpson to where you're at as a team. And then you get a week off, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, do you want a week off at that point? I would argue with that, but at the end of the day, it might be productive because it gives us a chance to kind of prep a little bit harder for, you know, a really, really good football team in Wheaton. You got to play those guys anyway. It doesn't matter when. They're in their second game too. So, it you know, however you balance that out, we're both in our second game. So it's not like they've had a ton more games under their belt than we have. So, and they'll be, you know, introducing a new quarterback and all those things that everybody else, you know, would. So it doesn't matter to me, to be honest with you. Play them early, play them late, play them in the middle. You've got to play them. So, you know, hopefully we'll have a good grasp on where we're at after the Simpson game. But you know what I know. The game of football is won on the offensive line and the defensive line. That's it. You know, your skills can't do what they want to do, or your DBs can't cover too long. You know, you can't have DBs, you know, making every tackle. So it really starts up front. It starts up front. And if you can, we'll find out real fast against Simpson and then Wheaton how good we are on both fronts. And if we're good, we can give that quarterback, whoever he may be, time to do what he needs to do. And then our defensive backs, who are, you know, we feel are pretty good, if they don't have to cover quite as long, it makes them really good. So, that's kind of where we're at that point.
With that schedule, how do you think about scheduling as part of your, like, longer-term plan with the program? And, you know, with Wash U, this is their last year. As you're thinking down the road and maybe even just more the conference, is it something that potentially would mean adding an additional non-conference game in, or potentially a second bye week within the conference? Has there been any like discussion around that?
Yeah, we're at this point, we don't know any different because the conference hasn't said anything at this point, but the anticipation is that we'll get a second non-conference game.
Got it.
So we've scheduled that up already. We'll continue to play Simpson the following year because we had a four-year contract with them. But then the second week we'll play someone different out of conference. So
got it.
Until the conference says, hey, we're adding someone in, that's the way it's going to be.
And, got it.
I wish, you know. Again, I don't know why Wash U is not in our league anymore. I enjoyed playing them. I thought they were a great football team and, you know, very, very similar school academically, in terms of it would fit the type of school that you would want to play in your league. But unfortunately, they're out of the conference after this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been something that's been pretty close to the chest as to, you know, why. Why they're no longer, you know, going to move in going to be in the CCIW, but when I think about, you know, this year, and I'll kind of set the table here just around like what a successful season would look like. You know, it's like auto bid, win the CCIW, you're in the playoffs. Then that second opportunity for the person that's, you know, the first team that doesn't make the playoffs, right, gets to go play someone from the WIAC in the Isthmus Bowl. You know, there's some other bowl games, right? I mean, Isthmus is at the top, but you have the Lakefront Bowl and a few others, and, you know, the ARC is talking about developing a bowl game, you know, with a partnership. And, you know, I'm curious, like, having participated, you know, in it 2 years ago against Platteville, what's kind of your perspective on just the D3 bowls, you know, just generally? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think any team or any head coach or anybody in the college football would say they don't want to play in a bowl game. They want to play in the national playoff, you know, kind of system. But I think the bowl games are a pretty cool. It's kind of neat that those guys got that going. It gives, you know, a team that you felt was pretty good an opportunity to continue their season for one more game. I know our guys enjoyed it immensely. The goal, obviously, though, is to get to the national playoffs. I'd rather not play in that bowl game, to be honest with you. But it is a tremendous opportunity, and I credit those, you know, who developed those bowl games, the Lakefront Bowl and the Isthmus Bowl. That was really cool that they've started it, but they've also been able to continue it because it does give exposure and an opportunity to a team that, you know, definitely you feel they're good enough to be in that situation.
Well, and it comes down to this: where is everybody at in terms of, you know, the understanding of the NPI, you know, outside of just the auto bids and the play into that and the math, you know, kind of behind everything, you know, it sometimes gives that opportunity for someone who probably was pretty deserving to get in, but because of this formula, you know, it gives them an opportunity to play something, you know, different. And but sometimes, right, can give you that feeling of the NPI can feel like a snub in some cases, right? You're like, why are they getting in and not us? And, you know, so that's been just such an interesting topic. And just the level of understanding of it is, you know, it's still a pretty big blinder to head coaches and ADs and just, you know, all of Division III, frankly. Yeah. So,
well, win every game, you don't have to worry about it.
That's right. That's the biggest thing. Control what you can control, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's all you can control is try to win as many games as you possibly can. And, you know, in a league like ours, if you have one loss, you definitely have a chance at getting in. If you have two losses, it's going to be really difficult, right? So even with them adding 40 teams now in the playoffs, it's still going to be exceptionally difficult to make it as an 8-2 team, right? But, yeah, just go win them all and you don't worry about anything.
That's right. That's a fact.
Right.
That's a fact.
Right.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Carter, your son, and, you know, this year you're going to get a chance to work alongside him, and, you know, he's going to join the Augustana staff as the strength coach. And, you know, I think about just the father-son perspective. How much are you looking forward to just getting to work alongside him, spend a bunch of time with him, right? Because he's been in South Dakota the last 4 years. You know, that's a pretty big geographical gap, and you know, he was super successful out there. But what are your, you know, how much are you maybe looking forward to that?
I would have loved to have coached him. That would have been fun. I don't know if he would have had fun, but I would have. But since that didn't happen, being able to have him on staff, we were always wondering what direction he was going to go. He was always going to stay in sports in some fashion. Was it training athletes? Was it coaching, right? We didn't know exactly. He didn't know. But I think he's going to be coaching, you know, doing our strength, but he's also going to be coaching our receivers. So I'm going to kind of hand him off to be our receiver coach. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do every day, but because I was the one that was coaching the receivers here the last umpteen years. But it's exciting. I think, just being able to kind of see the maturity that he gained. And I will correct you, he was at South Dakota for 6 years. So
that's right.
It just seems like yesterday that he left from high school. But yeah, so, you know, he's a young man now, and it's kind of cool to see the responsibility, the maturity that he has. And it's, I did tell him this. He probably don't like me saying this, but I did say, hey, just remember, I've got head in front of my name, and you've got assistant. So he kind of chuckled at that one, but I'm excited a lot about what he's going to do in the strength program. That was his kind of what he went to school for. He's got a master's in exercise phys. He's already started with our summer program. Our guys really enjoy that because it is quite a change from what we've done in the past. But just his knowledge base, and he did an unbelievable internship down in Frisco, Texas during his in 2023. And he was exposed to some very high-level athletes and different training methods. And he got to work with combine athletes down at Sports Academy in Frisco with some of the best guys in the country. And so that was a cool experience. So he's kind of been able to take all of this information and now he gets to, you know, put it, implement it. And so, yeah, it's about becoming a better athlete, not just a weight room guy. So I'm excited about that for our program.
And I'm excited just to see, you know, the kind of the immediate impacts that, you know, will start to come with that. And I think there's aspects, sure, right? You'll probably see certain things early on, you know, in the style of play and some of those things. But take the freshman class now and 4 years down the road, you know, right, it'll be a very, you know, could be a very different style of team and some of those things. So it's pretty exciting.
And we also are adding on, just to kind of build on that, one of his teammates that was a starter for University of South Dakota has moved to Moline and is going to be our defensive back coach now. So that's huge because we're bringing two kids that played college football at Division I level at one of the best programs in FCS. And kind of built it from where we're at right now. Like, South Dakota was not that team, and they built it from where it was at, which is where we're at right now, to being a semifinalist team this past year. And so they know how it's supposed to be done in the locker room, how it's supposed to be, you know what I mean? They yeah, can kind of, if they can regurgitate that info, you know, just kind of that vibe to the players of, hey, this is how you go about your business, this is what you do, and you know what I mean? It the more people you have like that and they're speaking that language, the better for our players.
Well, they can, I mean, they have the direct relatable experience, right? So they can say, we did it this way, or this is how we went about it, versus saying,
yep,
well, this is how other people did it. You know, it's a firsthand experience, which is way more right, impactful than, you know, someone that's saying third person, well, I've seen other teams do it this way, let's try it. It's like, no, we did it, so I understand exactly what you're going through, why it's so difficult, but, you know, trust the process and what we're trying to do.
And then I'm excited, too, because I don't know if you remember this name, but Trayvon Aldridge, who played corner here at Augustana, and he finished his career in 17, I believe it was. But Trayvon, okay, who's a local product at Rock Island High School, tremendous, you know, tremendous player, tremendously dual sport athlete in track and field, All-American, is going to be coaching our corners. So that's nice. We're bringing, you know, a strong, young alumni, you know what I mean, that is very successful in bringing him on staff, too.
That's awesome.
So excited about that, yeah.
Yeah, that was right before I started, just after we'd moved back from Denver and just before I started, yep, calling the game. So, yep, but yeah, know the yep, name for sure. That's awesome. Well, hey, as we wrap things up today, I know you're in the car and heading, so I appreciate the time today. Any parting messages you want to send to the, you know, Augie fans, family, friends, anybody who'd be kind of tuning in to watch this about the upcoming season or Augustana in general, just kind of floor is yours.
No, just, you know, really excited about this year and really feel great about our staff. I think that's where it starts, and then how they're going to be able to connect with our players. And you know, the goal is to connect at such a level that you know, give these kids tools in the toolbox to be really successful on the field. And then how it can all kind of come together at that moment, game to game. And but it's a great staff. I love the locker room. I love where we're at right now. And now it's just time to go play ball. And so looking forward to them reporting on August 12th.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a little excited too. I've had so Mikey Alvarado, I helped him get an internship down at H&I where I work. And I know he has one semester left before he graduates, and it sounds like he's sticking around, but I coaxed him in to come over and help me coach my son's third, fourth grade tackle team.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's going to be helping me. And then, cool. We were talking about him joining in the booth as a second voice for the broadcast, which I think will be a lot of fun there too. So, excited about the fall. So,
He's a great kid. Great kid. You know, went to the wrong place in the beginning, but he ended up at the right place at August.
Well, Anna, we've had a lot of debates on the MJ LeBron. He's LeBron's camp. I'm MJ. So, so we have that going too. That's been about a year or two debate we continue to have. But great kid. Great person.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
Well, thanks again, Coach. Please give my best to your wife, Robin, who's in the driver's seat right now.
She's doing a great job, by the way.
It's good. Good luck to the Vikings this season. I definitely will come over to the Ambrose and poke around the sidelines and watch that. So looking forward to that. But again, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it. And go Vikings. We'll see you here in a few weeks.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
If you like today's episode, make sure to just subscribe to the Viking Press Pass.
For life, one year, for life, one more.